We got freedom to worship the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need a few people to get on the energy. Hallelujah. Clap your hands along.
Clap, come on, I will not be before. I want to see the glory. Thank the Lord for all of you. Praise the Lord. I want to give honor to God today because He is the head of my life. Thank God for our pastor and assistant pastor. Thank God for all of you. I thank God for my wife. I think it's 26 years now. Thank God for her, my kids. And I just thank God for everything that has happened so far. And I just want to give honor to my family, my sister. Many of you have heard me talk about my family dynamics is different. It's my father had 6 kids before he met my mother. My mother had 4 kids before she met my father. So you'll hear me say, I got this sister, and I said, well, this one, they know each other. They don't really know each other like that. I'm the glue in between. And so my mother had 4 kids before me, so that's 5. And she and I, we're the only ones left, so the other 3 have passed away. And so when she's here, it's so important to me because this is my mom almost is sitting here, so if you can get in my place, it's like my mom, it's a connection to my mother. It's like my mother. And I want to thank God for her because you won't know it by looking at her, but our pastor loves children, and everyone knows that. So when I throw compliments, everybody knows, when I throw compliments around, because I throw them around like manhole covers, you don't get them. But when you do get them, you better count on it. It's a real thing. I don't tell you you sound good and you didn't. Maybe First Lady tried to encourage you that way. But if you smelled it up, I just won't say anything. But if you sound good, you sound good. You did that very good. It's true, trust me. So my compliments, they should mean something to people. But you don't know that unless you really know me. In time you will. But I'll say this because you know our pastor loves children. So keep that in mind when I say this. I don't know anybody in this world that loves children more than my sister Pat. And I thank God. Many, many kids have come through her house. While working a full-time job at Macy's, a bookkeeper for 40 years, she would babysit strangers. Strangers, I'm telling you. I had a girlfriend one time, not the girlfriend, the sister had a baby. I go over to her house and I said, boy, that baby sure looks familiar. Yeah, that's your girlfriend's sister's baby. I said, what's he doing here? I think it was a girl. What's she doing here? Well, she asked me to babysit and I didn't want the baby to go without. So she took her in. And right now she's adopted the 2 boys that you saw here with her. And at an age that she doesn't have to do it. And you all been praying for last year, 2016. Remember I said pray for my sister? She got a supernatural situation going on. Well, God answered prayer. She got saved last year. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, at first she got saved and, you know, I did what a lot of us do. We kind of helicopter parents, and you know, when we do something, we want to check in all the time. So I found myself checking because she said, what about this in church? What about that in church? I said, oh boy, maybe she ain't going to be with it long. So I found myself checking, and one day the Lord said, stop checking. You're not in control of this. Just leave it alone. So I let some weeks and maybe a month go by, and then I talked to her. I said, so I was scared. I was like, how's it going in the church? Because you know, in my mind, I said, it's not easy, you know, going to, as we learned in our minister's class, some apostolic churches. So she said, it's going great. You know, and Zamari, my brother's grandson, that's the little guy, said he sits with the preachers, and they call him the little preacher. I said, what? What? Are you serious? So I'm like shocked, so I thank God for her. Now, let's just get down to business. You know, I just had to say that because she chose to celebrate her birthday today with me here. And I thank God for that. If you only had one sister from your mother, maybe you would go on and on about it too. So please forgive me. All right, we can, if we don't mind standing at this time for it, we're going to go to our responsive reading. Matthew, the 13th chapter. And what we're going to do is read 10 and 11. And then if we can quickly turn to Matthew 16, the 19th verse of that. And if you don't have it, I believe it should be on the screen because Little Troublemaker is on her job all the time. If you have it, you can say amen. And let's read together. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now let's turn quickly. Verse 19 reads, And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said,
Word of the Lord, bless
us. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Today I just want to bring to you a message. It's a kingdom message. We talk about a lot of things in church, and with this year of spiritual increase, I've been trying to figure out how do I maximize what has been given over the pulpit. The word has been so good, and I said, there's something wrong here. I'm not getting all what I, and it's all on me because the word is coming with power and conviction, so I'm not getting something right here. And it's a concern of mine. But then when I read Jesus had only 3.5 years for his ministry, and every message, almost 100% of his message, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the value has to be placed on this kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. You see, in a kingdom, there are many things. There's a king, there's people, there's an army, there's territory. So what is it about this kingdom? And I just want to say that we belong to this world. But when we become a believer, we no longer only belong to this world. We also belong to the kingdom of heaven. So I got to concern myself with the things that Jesus said to concern yourself with. So if he talked about it, it's got to be important. You see, there are many customs, many traditions that we hold to each other. You know, I mean, in one place of the world, when you greet one another, there's a bow. There's a kiss, sometimes 2 or 3 times, men, women, whatever. That's a custom. So in America, if you come and approach me as a man and you want a kiss, that might be a little bit of a problem for me because it's not something that I'm accustomed to. You know, it's not something that I'd be probably backing up because, you know, it'd be sick and whatnot. So it's just customs. But God really didn't concern himself with our little customs, our little standards or whatever. So we put an emphasis on, how to have mannerisms and different things. But they're not really so much a focus in the kingdom of heaven. If they were, he would have been talking about it. Make sure you kiss 3 times when you meet. It's not talked about. So we have to concern ourselves with not only this world that we live in, but also what are the customs and traditions of our kingdom, of where we live. The Bible says we are ambassadors of Christ. We are just passing through this place. But inside these laws and rules that we have here, there are problems with the laws and rules here. So there are problems because we're human. We make mistakes. And nepotism becomes an issue sometimes. You only show this to someone you know or love, or many times a loved one. I was at a job, and the job had gotten so bad with nepotism that what happened was, if you were a supervisor, you could not have any immediate siblings or anybody in your department, because what would happen was they would advance the loved one to the top while everybody else is whatever. So this happens sometimes with us. It's just gonna happen. It's a natural thing. You're just gonna love who loves you. And it doesn't always have to be family. It can be a best buddy or whatever. It's so many different things that go on in that dynamic. So, you know, but when you're dealing with the kingdom of heaven, remember the question, who is my neighbor? You know, so it's a different set of rules, different set of guidelines. So we must hold true to that. The other thing that happened, some of the problems here, is self-preservation. We look out for number one. You know, we look out for who looks out for us sometimes, you know. So it's kind of, it's not fair sometimes. And you can't really call it when it happens to you. You just pray for, you know, whoever did this to you or whatever. So you keep that in mind. But what happens is, let me just slow down here. Slow down here. Our personal safety is sometimes, if someone does something wrong to us physically, we're ready to repay right away, you know, a counterpuncher, you know, like when that guy tried to kiss me, you know, we're ready to repay instantly, you know, and that's not the spirit of the Lord. That's not the kingdom of heaven. We got to look at a few things, and bear with me, because I need you to have an understanding today, so we may not yell and run around, but I need you to have an understanding. The Bible talks about wisdom is the principal thing, but get wisdom, but with all thy getting, get an understanding. Sometimes we get to shouting and running around, and then you ask somebody later, what was church about? I don't know. You know, because we spent a lot of time running and jumping, but we didn't let it sink down in us. So today I want you to do me a favor, because this goes two ways. I needed to sink down in me, and you needed to sink down in you what I'm talking about, because I believe it's pretty powerful. Can you turn with me to Luke? We'll hold Luke, the sixth chapter. And today, this is something I need you to understand. It's about empowerment. You know, the kingdom of heaven, there are keys and there are mysteries. They're one and the same. When he'll interchange them once in a while. You know, the keys of heaven, there are principles or mysteries, you know. You unlock something with a key. You lock it with a key. You reveal it in a mystery. You conceal it in a mystery. So it's about opening this up or closing this up. And that's the empowerment. See, many times we hear the word power and we think strength and might. But power does not only mean strength and might. I'm not here to teach you about words or whatever, but in the word power, it just means the ability to do. I am a locomotive engineer, and I have to get it in my mind that the old engineers would tell me, put it in power. And in my mind, I don't know, what do you want me to do? All they wanted me to do was go in a direction and any speed. We got 8 notches on the engine. Just one notch, I'm in power now. That's my power. The train, while it's rolling, is in three positions. It's in power, it's in transition, or it's in braking. So it's either tight, or it's in the middle, going in between, or it's bunched up. So there is power, means the ability or the, trying to get the word, the authority, that's the word. It gives you the authority. As in power of attorney, you know, that's the train of thought that I'm going with. There are many things that we need to yet discover about ourselves. What God can do through us, how our relationship can truly be, how we can truly receive the blessings of God, how can we get in the right place that we need to be in, because we make a lot of mistakes. But the problem is, If I ask someone, how many mistakes can be avoided? You might say 20% or 50% or 90. But the truth is, 100% of the mistakes can be avoided. You can do the math all you want. Any accident, go back and see if there was a two-car collision, how could it have been avoided? It could have been avoided. 100% of the accidents could have been avoided. Now that's a real strange statement, but when you think about it, if they had done this, if they did that, they could have avoided the accident. So it's no longer, you gotta change your thoughts. I don't wanna let myself off the hook sometimes. I wanna make sure that I'm staying on the straight and narrow and get in a position that God can truly use me. Hallelujah. There are certain things, like I said, that we have not yet discovered. There's no way that during Adam's time, if he had said, Adam, go get in your car, he would have looked at you, what is a car? But yet, everything to make a car was here during Adam's time. Everything to make a train, a bus, a computer was here during Adam's time. But it had not yet been discovered or revealed to him. But God had it all worked out in the beginning. He didn't give it all at once. So there was steps that he took man through. And he was too busy discovering fire and how to keep warm to be talking about a car somewhere. So, but it doesn't change the fact everything he needed to make a car was there already. So it just has not yet been discovered. Please follow that. So there are things in you and there are things in me not yet discovered yet about us. We just haven't figured it out yet. We're passing it every day. We're looking at it in the Word, and when the Word comes forth, it's coming at us, but we're not yet discovering it as of yet. Keep that in mind. Now, what are some of these keys? Let's go to Luke, the 6th chapter. Oh, how I love Jesus. Hallelujah.
Let me make it plain. These are the keys.
Here it is. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smite thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Remember that physical harm? We're not a counterpuncher. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take away thy coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee, not your buddy, not your son, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. You know what they're saying? They took advantage of me. I ain't gonna ask for it no more. Well, let's keep going. He breaks it down. Now, we've all done this wrong, so don't feel bad. We've all done it wrong. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also likewise to them. But if ye love them which love you, your buddy, what thanks have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also do the same. Holy. It's just saying, this key here, I know your earthly rules. They require you to give and receive. Just relax and just give and receive. But the kingly rules say, give and hope for nothing again. Give it away. Just don't worry about it no more. And when they use you, don't worry about it no more. Put it aside. But our rules that we grew up with is not so. Let's finish this. All right, 33, I think we were on. Somebody help me out here. 33?
Amen.
And if you do good to them which do good to you, we've read that. 34. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind and unto them, unto the unthankful and to the evil. So God is saying, not only do this to them that are unthankful, but even those evil ones out there. And we know we come across people that don't come in the best light sometimes. So be even good to them. Give to them. But here's the thing. Hope nothing again. Now you can't give what you don't have. Nobody's saying that. You can't give $100 to somebody when you have 40. There's nothing you can do there. But you can give what you have. And there's this thing. Well, I don't have any cash on me. Well, you have a credit card, a debit card in your pocket. It's not my fault that you chose not to bring money. You know, so it's kind of, if the need is there, now you just got to go the extra mile of the way. I'm talking about the kingdom rules. Amen. These things God set before us, before there was a debit card or anything like that, God is saying, I want you to do this because I know there's going to be some serious blessings involved for you when you do this thing.
Amen.
I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. If you do, say amen.
Amen.
Now that's the principles, right? Let's see it in an example. Luke chapter 6, we'll go back. Chapter 10. This is the actual example of that thing. You with me?
Amen.
Great. We're going to go to verse number 30. All right, and this is a very familiar thing here. And Jesus answered, said, verse 30, Jesus answering said, a certain man, see, this is not a parable. We're talking a kingdom folk. This is not a parable. This is an actual case. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, we've all heard this story before, and we know that this particular road is in a bad neighborhood. And there were bad things that happened in this road between two cities, and people knew they would lie wait and rob the people as they traveled back and forth. And then there were people that would pretend to be wounded, and they were not. So there was a fear that if I do something, this guy could be playing possum with me. We had a story earlier about possum. So let's continue, verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Two people that know that they should have been the main ones to help. But here's what we can't do. We cannot look at somebody if they don't do it. We cannot point fingers at them. We cannot say anything bad about them. They made a choice not to do it. More blessings for you and me. More blessings. That's how we got to look at it. We have choices to make because you chose not to do that thing that God put in front of you to do. That's your choice. We cannot get mad if someone does not help. If someone, we ask money of someone and we know they have it, and we have a serious need, and they don't give it, it is not up to us to think wrong of them. They have some issues to work out with God. That's between them and God. But we need to still have a good attitude toward them and forgive them of that if we want to stay in right standing. See, it takes two to make a thing go wrong. So you don't want to, have something, a counteraction that's wrong. So, and then a lot of times we have this thing, did you hear the word? The word said you ought to do this, then. No, that's the wrong attitude. That's not what I'm talking about here. So, but in 33 it says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him. Didn't care about his own safety. Went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him. So if he set him on his beast, what was he doing? Walking. And brought him to an inn, a hotel, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. I mean, this is like it's his baby. Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, I'm giving you a little cushion here with the money. But if you happen to spend a little more, he says, when I come again, I will repay you. Don't look to this guy that's been hurt to pay you. I got this. I'm going to pay his debt. This is what God is saying. This is a principle that God is laying out. It just says, if you do these things, you're going to really abound. You're going to really have faith, and you have trust that I'm going to do something. I'm going to really bless you. But in this present world, not always in heaven somewhere, in this present world, you receive your blessing. Hallelujah. And then the latter part of 37, go and do wise. I'm sorry, but I don't see where there are options here. He said, go and do likewise. We ought to love one another like never before. No matter what the situation is, no matter how mistreated we feel like we've been, we have to have forgiveness and move on. We have to hold people and esteem them highly because we love ourselves and we see them. Don't you think you're pretty? Somebody here think they look pretty good? They feel pretty good? Hello? there's the other side of this in Ephesians. It talks about the kingdom. It said no unclean person, no covetous person, and a whole bunch of other things shall inherit anything in the kingdom. Anything in the kingdom. So there's not only blessings, but there comes when you don't do, there comes a price with that too. We just don't feel like that. All right. Let's go to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Hallelujah. You know, what happens here is when you change certain things, you change the dynamics of certain things, you change the laws. If you can change the laws, because we have a higher law, you change the outcome sometimes. All right, we find this in gravity, the laws of gravity. The laws of gravity say the heavier something is, the more likely it's going to be pulled to the earth faster. So if you take something that's 200,000-300,000 pounds, it's going to have a pull on it from the earth. It's not going to be able to separate. It's not going to be able to get away from the earth. And as, you know, like a light piece of paper, it's going to have an easier time with gravity. You know, it's going to float to the ground. But if you take something 200,000-300,000 pounds, it's going to, you pick it up a foot, when it comes down, it's going to slam down. That's the laws of gravity. But you can change the laws of gravity when you add speed to it. When you add speed to it, when you have a 600,000-pound jet and it's loaded with cargo, when you put an engine on the sides and you make that thing go about 160 miles an hour, now the laws of gravity change. No longer is it subject to gravity. So it's just up in the air because it pays no attention to those laws anymore. It's got a new set of laws. Do you follow what I'm saying? This is the amazing discovery that we can discover. We can find ourselves in places that never thought possible. We can find ourselves at jobs that we were never qualified for. We can find ourselves living in houses that we don't belong in. We don't even belong cleaning those houses, let alone living in those houses. We can have cars that we never thought before. And this is not a charismatic get your stuff message, but it's just the truth. We can do things that had never seen before. I think about the man that led the revival on Azusa Street, Brother Seymour. Third grade education, one eye, and he shot himself in the foot, had one leg he walked on. And he was a black man, and he led the revival in Azusa Street. Third grade education. God can use who he wants to use. But if you put yourself in a position when you're following all of the new rules that you created, when you change those old rules and now you have new rules, sky is the limit. Sky is the limit. Hallelujah. The thing about it is, it's about authority. If you think about in the fourth chapter of Galatians, it talks about the adoption of sons, right? The adoption of sons. And it talks about the son of a father in the house. He said, while he's growing up, although he's an heir, he's just no different from a servant in the house. A lot of people see that adoption and say that son didn't belong to that father. He belonged to the father, but in the Jewish custom, it is, and not only the Jewish, but in that day, he is no different than a servant up to the time about a 13, 14 years old, bar mitzvah, when the father appointed him to be now a son. And he wasn't a son in the mind of the father until the appointed time when he said, you're ready, here you go. And we find this in the prodigal son. When the prodigal son left, came back, the father did what? Put a robe on him? Gave him a ring. Where did the ring go? Finger? No. It was a hand. The ring, the Bible says he gave him a ring on his hand. What you don't realize, what happened there is he gave him that ring. That's the family signet. That seal. He now has what the father had. The authority of the father. Do you understand what I'm saying? At an appointed time, that son now owns the family seal. So when he stamps documents, that means my father did it and I did it. We are one in the same. At the appointed time that the father, when you are ready, see, when you are really ready, you don't waste the talking about give me $1 million. That proves right there, you're not ready. You don't ask for things like that. But there are things that God will open up in heaven for you. And there are things that he will close in heaven for you. It'll be like you said it and he was saying it at the same time. I need you to understand what I'm talking about. If you think about it, think about before the sin, when Adam, when he named a lion, he said, Lord, this is going to be a lion. To this very day, we call it a lion. He said, King, boss, it's going to be a giraffe. And God said, yep, it's going to be a giraffe. It's in heaven. It's on earth. It's on earth. It's on heaven. It does not matter. But when you're in the right place with God, see, if you're in the right place with God, you don't ask foolishness. Lord, bless my brother, my sister, only my relatives, or my best buddy. You don't ask those things. You ask things that God is already thinking about doing. You have the mind of God. When that son has that seal, it does not matter what he do. He is trusted with the seal. He is a trusted son. He is no longer a servant. He goes anywhere, does anything he wants. The Father never questions it. It's not a problem. There's no good thing that God would hold from you when you're living right and doing right. God wants to bless in a mighty way. But we sometimes make those mistakes that are 100% avoidable. 100%. We don't have to say the wrong thing all the time. Let's slow down with our speech sometimes. Let's think about what we're saying, what we're texting, what we're doing on Facebook. Let's look at it. Get a second eye on it sometime. God will begin to bless us when we're trying to be careful with everything we say. I don't know what's going to hurt somebody. I don't know what's going to be a bother to somebody. I just know that I want to help and I want to love, just like this Good Samaritan had love for a stranger. You see, when Israel got the land, when he divvied up the land, he said, you're going to have this. He said, only remember the poor and the stranger. Hallelujah. Do you know why he had to specify? Because he said, remember the poor. We would only sought out our loved ones. We would only sought out those people that pleased us. But he said, the poor and the stranger. You can have a whole acre, but you leave this little part right here for the poor and the stranger. Let him grow food there. Let him have that little piece. You see how God wants us to have, we are joint heirs. The Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ. How did he do that? How did he put me as a joint heir? If I'm a joint heir, then all that he has, he wants to give it to me and share it with me. Hallelujah. No, it's not a charismatic message. It's just the truth. It's the truth. God wants to bless each and every one of us. If you know how to think it in your mind, God can do it. If you know how to conceive it in your heart, God can do it. You've got people here that want to do things. Put some pressure on the pastor in a good way. Hallelujah. I'm trying to arm you so you'll be dangerous for the enemy. I'm trying to arm you when you are armed with this message. I'm telling you, every message that comes forth, it'll mean some more to you. It'll mean more. It'll make you dangerous. You'll be like that guy in that movie when they stole his daughter. And he's on the phone with the kidnapper. He's like, yeah, I'm here. You got my daughter. But I got a particular set of skills that makes me a nightmare for people like you. I got a particular set. You know what I got? The keys of heaven. I got keys of the kingdom. I got them. So whatever I find on earth is going to be bound in heaven. It is possible. It is possible. It's not only possible, it's probable when you live right, when you do what God wants you to do, when you stop being selfish and just looking at your loved ones and those who you like. Stop having favorite people. Just stop having favorite people. Just everybody's my favorite. I love the little babies. I love the old men. I love everybody. We gotta try. God wants to bless. Hallelujah. I hope somebody's getting a little bit out of this. Hallelujah. You see, it's his intention to give us blessings. It's his intention. Now, forget about that. You know, we always hear, oh, Lord, God bless you while I'm in heaven. No. Now. I'm going to be blessed now and then. Hallelujah. I want it all. Yeah, I'm greedy. Hallelujah. I'm greedy. Thank you, Jesus. If it's there for me, it's for me. But I know there's a price. Hallelujah. There's a price. Ephesians 3rd chapter, please. Thank you, Jesus. 20th verse. This is very common. We read this all the time. But this is what your Father has in store for you. This is what my Father has in store for me. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, never before. But you got to pick up on these keys and unlock some of those doors. And lock some of those doors. God wants to bless you so all eyes will see. Wow, look at that man. Blessed. I'm telling you, I got friends that have master's degrees and whatnot. And some strange reason, I've been making just about as much money as they have. And I just like to believe, and really, I'm a 10th grade dropout, to be honest. I mean, I got the little piece of paper, but I never really went to school much. I conned them into giving me a diploma. So I just say, man, I mean, I'm not proud of it, but I never really took school serious. But God made up the difference. And God can make it up in your life. God, there's so many things that God wants to do for you. But the Bible says, if these things be found in you and abound, you won't be unfruitful or barren. You're going to bear fruit some 20, some 30, some 100. God's going to bless, and he's going to open up the windows of heaven to pour you out a blessing. There be not room to receive, but your motivation can't be, I just need a blessing, so I'm going to hurry up, bless somebody. Wrong attitude. If we just change the attitude, we can change how things happen in our lives. If we change the rules, we can change the outcome of the man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.